Hello and welcome to another episode of Nonprofit Vision. This is your host, Greg Nielsen, President and CEO of Nielsen Training and Consulting, where we work with nonprofit organizations all across the country to translate your vision into reality. I'm excited to be back on this episode of the podcast, and we have a bit of a different focus this time. Sometimes we talk a lot more about skill building and particular topics around that. Today, I think you're going to find a fascinating story of a youth-led organization and a tremendous international youth leader. To join us for today's conversation is Devika Narayanan. Devika is the Chief of Staff of Nostos Homes. Devika, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much, Gregory. It's lovely to be here.
And Devika, where are you joining us from geographically?
So I'm joining in from India today, right out of my college hostel room in West Bengal.
Wonderful. And tell us a little bit about your background.
Sure. So I am a college student, like I just mentioned. I'm studying engineering here in India. But along with that, for the past 3 years almost, I've been working as the chief of staff of Nostos Homes. So Nostos is this youth-led nonprofit organization where we build homes for forcibly displaced families around the world. So these are very vulnerable families fleeing from situations like natural disasters or even fleeing from conflict-affected zones. So what we're trying to do is give them a real home, give them a sense of privacy and personal dignity, and really help them rebuild their lives using these homes.
Devika, I get podcast guest requests from folks all over the country, all over the world, and yours jumped out at me when I first heard from you and heard about the work that you were doing because of a couple of different factors. The fact that you are an entirely youth-led organization and your impact worldwide. So tell me a little bit about why did you decide on homes and housing? How did the focus of the organization come to be on homes and housing?
So the organization itself was started by two of my seniors in the same college. And so the focus of homes really was because most of the team, including myself, have grown up in different parts of India, seeing the problem of forcible displacement around us. So, for instance, I grew up in Kerala, which is the state in the southern part of India. And every single year, the state witnesses extremely heavy rainfalls, which then leads to flooding and landslides and a lot of devastation across the state. So having seen this around us growing up shaped our focus and made us realize that we wanted to do something about this. And it was only after we really started looking into this problem in more detail that we realized it's massive. About 80 million people around the world globally are forcibly displaced. So that's just a scale, you know, it's very difficult to even wrap your head around that sort of a number. So once we dig deeper and once we started researching more, we knew that this is something we wanted to focus our organization on.
And as you saw the problem, you had done the research, but you all are a youth-led organization. As you said, everyone was in college at the time. How did you make that decision that, you know what, this problem compels us to take action, and the way we're going to take action is by forming a nonprofit organization? How did you all come to that decision?
So I think we started small. We didn't necessarily know that Nostos would scale so much, but we essentially started with sort of coming up with the design of the house. So the co-founder of Nostos, Kaushal, he was an architecture student in my same university. So he had exposure to the sort of design thinking that is required to build sustainable homes. And so he was able to come up with this design, and that's how Nostos started. But we noticed a lot of support when we were small and when we were starting to grow. And that's what I think really encouraged us to go ahead and register as a nonprofit and try and, you know, scale this massively. So it started as a fairly small exercise, but seeing a lot of interest and seeing a lot of, seeing that this could scale, seeing the potential it had really helped us, put more time and effort into it.
Now, you mentioned that he had experience in architecture and you all have had lived experience in different parts of the country. Had any of you had any experience in leading or managing or running a nonprofit organization? Because that's a very different enterprise.
So me personally, no, none at all. So I sort of learned on the job. I started, you know, just diving headfirst into what the role required. And I was able to pick up a lot of the skill sets on the way. But yes, some of the leadership, like for instance, our other co-founder did have experience building and scaling nonprofits in the past. So I think we sort of relied on that experience a little bit, and the rest of us was able to pick things up along the way. And I think, you know, as long as you have that passion for what you're building, you're able to pick these things up. And we also had a lot of external support that we reached out to if in case we needed that sort of an expertise. So a good example of this could be that none of us in the team have any sort of legal expertise. Like I said, I'm an engineer. So the world of law was something that was very foreign to us. But for that, we relied on external pro bono legal support. So it's just about, you know, putting those pieces together. And if you need help looking for those sources where you can get that help and learning the rest of the things as you go along.
You mentioned that you learn things, new things every day. And that's mm-hmm. the way it always is in nonprofit leadership. What do you know now that you wish you had known then when you were starting the organization? What is one thing that you've learned along the way that you know now that you wish you had known at the outset?
So I think Nostos itself has given me like a massive learning experience in all sorts of different fields. So for instance, at Nostos, I help build a lot of the partnerships that Nostos has. So what this means is that talking to international stakeholders, talking to organizations in Africa, across India, talking to governmental bodies, talking to the beneficiaries that we're trying to help. So that required a lot of really connecting with a lot of people and really understanding their stories and understanding what was something they were looking for from this partnership. So those were skill sets I gained along the way that I did not necessarily have before. So really figuring out how to maneuver these international conversations, how to deal with the nuances of deploying internationally, all of those things would have been helpful early on. But yeah, it's all things that I was able to gain through the experience.
And I think that experience working with partnerships and collaboration is such a hallmark of nonprofit leadership, such an important part of what we all do. You mentioned a little bit about the scale of Nostos Homes. Mm-hmm. What is the current scope and scale of Nostos Homes, number of homes that you've built and maybe number of countries that you've been active in?
So we have deployed homes in India and Malawi in Africa recently. So these are the two countries we've been operational in. And in terms of the number of, you know, the sort of scale of impact, we have been able to deliver almost 500,000 nights of housing for families in both of these places. So yeah, that's the sort of scale that we're looking at right now. And we're looking to scale and grow in the next couple of months as well. We have one of our next deployments coming up sometime in the next month, where we'll be deploying in the northeastern part of India. So yeah, we're trying to reach a lot of remote geographies and really scale to different places. Another thing about the Nostos design is that we've kept the house design itself fairly simple. So the idea is that the house should be able to be manufactured in different parts around the world so that we can scale globally in a more organic fashion. And also the other thing is that the home itself can be brought to the deployment site in a truck in a deassembled form and then essentially clipped into place, even if the people have no construction expertise or even if they've no specialized tools. So that also helps us in our scaling because we don't necessarily need to be on the ground. The design of the house itself is fairly simple and intuitive to understand and build.
One of the challenges that nonprofit organizations face, and we see it all the time here in the United States, is how do you remain connected to the communities that you're serving? So I'm curious, for a youth-led organization, for an organization that's operating internationally in different parts of different countries, how do you really get to know the needs of the different communities that you're deploying housing into?
That's an excellent question. And I think we've dealt with this in two ways. So the first is obviously trying to have as many interactions with the local community as possible to try and understand what do they want in a home. Now, the idea of a home is different for everyone, right? The idea of a home for you and for me is different. And for people in Africa, it's different. For people in remote parts of India, it is different. So we've made sure that we don't have a preconceived notion of what a home means to these people. And we've kept our design, fairly customizable to the local needs and requirements. So what that means is really talking to these communities, looking at what they want and what they don't want. A good example was recently when we deployed in Africa, our home design initially had built-in bathroom facilities, but the local community actually let us know that this was not something they were used to and was actually frowned upon in their community, right? Because it was seen as unsanitary to have sanitation facilities so close to their living spaces. So it was about like being open and being present and really listening to their needs. So we very quickly adapted the design and removed the toilet facility from inside the houses. And the second thing we try and do is that we always try and have a local partner who has worked with this community for a very long time to help us maneuver these cultural nuances. So, for instance, when we deployed in Africa, we built a partnership with Habitat for Humanity in Malawi, which is one of the world's largest nonprofit builders. So these people have worked with these communities for very, very long. So the fact that we're a young organization doesn't inhibit us here because we're able to rely on this more established organization for anything that we do need.
One of the things that I've enjoyed learning about your organization is you've been highly recognized internationally with awards and different distinctions. Tell us a little bit about some of that international attention that the organization has been able to attract.
Yes, absolutely. We've been lucky enough to get this sort of recognition from two different places. The first is, through competitions that we've applied to and we've been successful in reaching pretty high up there. So that naturally gives us a platform to talk about a solution that gives us a lot of attention in whatever reach they have with their audience. And the second is also in terms of media houses. The senior leadership has been covered by, places like Forbes with their 30 Under 30 award. We've been covered by organizations like NASDAQ. So yes, this has really helped Nostos grow and scale, because ultimately you definitely need people to know about what you're doing in order to build a sustainable organization.
And Devika, one of the questions I'm sure nonprofit leaders are asking themselves as they listen to this podcast episode is, what about funding? One of the persistent challenges for nonprofits, whether they're local, whether they're national, or whether they're international, is where does the funding come from? So for your organization, Nostos Homes, what is the basic funding model look like?
So for us, we've been fairly reliant on corporate sponsorships. So we try and build relationships with some of these companies that are, that allow us to have these donations come in at a particular frequency. So that's what we've mostly been relying on. But apart from that, like I mentioned earlier, there is also support from certain competitions and grants that we've been successful in. But those are the main two sources. Another thing that really helps us with Nostos is that because we're youth-led, another sort of aspect is that we're also completely volunteer-run. So all of us, completely work in a volunteer basis, which means there is no one on payroll, which means the operational expenditure for Nostos is extremely low. And so everything that comes into Nostos, we are able to pretty much translate into homes built and nights of shelter delivered. So that also helps us in, relying on corporate sponsorships and making a sustainable organization that does not require too much operational overheads.
It's extraordinary all that you've accomplished as an all-volunteer organization, as a youth-led organization. What's been the most rewarding aspect of being part of a youth-led organization like this?
For me personally, the most rewarding thing has been seeing the transformation for our beneficiaries. So these are families that are extremely vulnerable, as I talked about, right? So for instance, in Malawi, some of the families we worked with had children who were HIV positive, and not having a home had a ripple effect on every single aspect of their lives. So for instance, the parents couldn't, you know, leave their kids home because they had no home, right? Which meant they couldn't go to work, which meant the family income dwindled, which meant these kids couldn't get their medical treatment, which meant kids couldn't go to school. So the entire family was in a state of extreme disarray because of this one night that essentially changed their entire lives. So seeing that transformation that this home had in these people's lives was truly remarkable and made everything absolutely worth it, because these families, you know, you could see the joy on their faces. You could see the amazement that they had a new home. All of a sudden, you could see that their lives were slowly getting back on track. They were able to go back to jobs. The kids were returning to schools. You know, they were living in more physically safe situations with lesser harassment. And yeah, it was just overall an extremely positive change. And I don't think I would have been able to necessarily, you know, be part of something so fulfilling if I wasn't part of NorthStars in my college days. So that is something that I'm extremely grateful for.
And on the flip side, what's been the most challenging aspect of leading youth-led organization?
So I think one of the most challenging things, especially when you're dealing with building homes, which is a very tangible, very physical structure, is that there is a lot of logistics that you have to handle. And as a youth-led organization, this can be quite challenging, because what this means is that you have to build relationships with a lot of different moving parts, right? So what that means is, for instance, manufacturing our houses in India and shipping them to Africa required at one point some 6 to 7 different organizations to work together. So being a youth-led organization, there is definitely that added challenge of how do we get taken seriously, right? How do we prove that what we're doing is something that can scale, and how do we prove that this partnership is something that they want to be a part of? So that element of being youth-led meant that we had to be that much more prepared. We had to be that much more professional. And we really had to make sure that we had every detail down to the T, because we wanted to seem, you know, as professional as possible and as prepared as possible. So that definitely was an element that pushed us early on. But I think now we've reached that space that we're comfortable building partnerships with.
Many organizations are trying to engage young people, whether it's as staff members, as volunteers, as board members. What advice would you give to nonprofit organizations to try to better attract young people to their organization?
That's an interesting question. I think, you know, sort of looking at maybe some of these university campuses could be a good thing, because I know a lot of my friends who are also interested in doing things like this, who haven't necessarily had an opportunity to be a part of something like this. So I think looking at spaces where, you know, looking at top universities across the globe where people are looking to volunteer at places, that could be a good place to reach out and say that this is something that we have an opening at. And I'm sure there'll be a lot of people who are very interested to take that up.
Devika, last question before we wrap up. You have a whole career ahead of you. You know, you are just starting out. You're a university student. What does the future look like for you in your career? What does the future look like for NorthStars Homes?
So for me personally, I will be graduating in the next month. So that is very exciting. And after that, I've gotten a full-time offer from Boston Consulting Group. So I'm planning to join there as a full-time consultant. But yeah, for NorthStars, we are looking to continue to grow and scale. We're looking to build more houses. We're looking to make more partnerships, and we are ultimately looking for more lives to transform. So yeah, we are just getting started and we'd love to keep going.
Absolutely extraordinary story, extraordinary accomplishments for you and your team, Devika. For folks who want to learn more about NorthStars Homes or want to connect with you directly, what is the best way for folks to reach out?
So to reach out to me, you can reach me at devika@northstarshomes.org. That is my email address. And to look out for more of what NorthStars is doing, please do check out our website, northstarshomes.org. There is a lot of stories about the change we've brought in a lot of communities around the world. And yeah, just a nice place to get engaged with what we've been doing at NorthStars. So make sure you check that out.
Thank you so much for taking the time to join us today, to share your insights, your wisdom, and the amazing accomplishments that you've had. For those who are enjoying the podcast, remember to subscribe to the podcast so you can be alerted to when new episodes drop. And remember to share the podcast with your friends, your colleagues, your coworkers. If you're enjoying it, remember to leave us a rating or review on your favorite podcast platform, because that helps us get noticed and continue to grow this community. In the meantime, till our next episode, I hope everybody stay safe, stay well, and we'll be back soon.